recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Oh, it's live, pal.
All right, guys. Today is a special one for me. He's one half of the Tales from the Estate podcast, and he's an all-around positive guy whose friendliness and generosity makes the wrestling figure community a better place. He's your friend and mine. Guys, here's Drew Venzel. Drew, how's it going, man?
Good, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a long time coming, and thanks for making it happen. I guess it's more so on my side, but thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me. I know, you know, we've had a lot of conversations about maybe doing this one day, and you know, I'm really excited that we're getting to. So I've been looking forward to it.
Mutual feeling there, man. I gotta say that when I got onto, I guess, what they call wrestling Twitter or wrestling figures or whatever people's classification for online Twitter wrestling figure stuff is,
right?
You were one of the guys that first kind of stuck out to me as like just one of the good dudes that didn't have a bunch of negative vibes, wasn't trash talking people or putting people down, and wasn't really divisive. And that kind of drew me to you as a user there. Is that part of your upbringing? Is that something you just came up with, you know, that was important to you as you got older? Where does that come from?
Well, you know, I've always kind of lived by the motto of treat people the way you want to be treated. But, you know, it's kind of funny. I got back into collecting 2016, right around there. You know, and obviously that's when Fully Posable started their podcast, but I didn't discover them until probably early 2017. And, you know, so I kind of followed all these people and kind of dipped my toes into like wrestling figure community and the you know, all of that. But I didn't really understand like just how big of a community it was. And so when I started listening to Fully Posable and, you know, they would talk about all these people, I'd follow them on Twitter. And kind of the first thing that really just blew me away about everybody was, I remember when I moved into my house, I shared a picture of, you know, how my collection was coming along, and I finally had my basement, my figure room, and just like the positive feedback just kind of like blew me away. And I was just like, whoa, I was like, there's all these people that, you know, are just super positive and they're like cheering you on. And that was really cool to me because I didn't know that there was all these other people that kind of felt the same way I did. And that was, you know, kind of a man child, an adult, you know, but still a little kid at heart. You know, and I've been a wrestling fan for life. And so that just kind of did that. And so that just really blew me away. And I always just kind of said to myself, I'm going to do whatever I can to give back. And so, you know, it just started with finding figures for people, or, you know, kind of putting something out there and doing giveaways, things like that. And, you know, kind of the funny thing is, through doing those giveaways and through finding figures for people, you know, somebody on Twitter that you've never met, I've created all these friendships, you know, and you're included in that. And it's just, it's so cool that, you know, some of these people that I can say, these are some of my best friends I met because of collecting wrestling figures.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. And it's really been infectious. I mean, I know I kind of just got in the same way, Fully Posable, and I didn't originally find them. But once I did, that kind of led me to this sphere of guys like yourself and GBM and some of these guys that were doing cool stuff for people. And that's been pretty infectious for me. I know it's kind of put that into me that I didn't necessarily have on that level prior to that. So I was just curious where yours came from. Guess I skipped ahead. I usually start by asking people where they grew up and where they were from. So I'll ask you that now as a second question.
Yeah. So, I'm an Ohio kid, lifelong, born and raised in Ohio. I grew up in a small town in the northeast corner called Ashtabula, Ohio. It is just a very small town, not famous for much besides, being like the hometown of Urban Meyer, current head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, I've lived in northeast Ohio my whole life. I've moved around a bunch, but I've always been in this area. You know, and I know some people kind of have not great things to say about like the Cleveland area and our sports teams. Obviously we've had more heartbreak than most other teams, but yeah, I love being from here. I'm a, you know, diehard sports fan, all the Cleveland teams. you know, and I've so just kind of with that, you know, I would go to sporting events when I was younger and it'd be, you know, the Richfield Coliseum, but then you go to wrestling events in those same arenas. And so with a lot of the teams, I have fonder memories of being in the arena for wrestling events than I do for like basketball games or things, you know, things like that.
Yeah, that's kind of a prevailing feeling, I think, for some of us. I know for me, same thing here in the Bay Area, or growing up in the Bay Area, I should say. I'm a little bit out of that area right now, but same deal. Going to the Cal Palace and seeing wrestling shows sometimes outweighs any of the sporting memories that I have.
Yeah, I mean, the first wrestling event I ever went to, I was 4 years old. I went to the 1992 Survivor Series at the old Richfield Coliseum. And so even to this day, you know, they've torn it down. But you know, I live not far from that area where it was. And so still to this day, when I drive by there where the Coliseum was, it just like I have flashbacks of going to wrestling events there. You know, I was at 4 years old. I was a huge Ultimate Warrior fan. And you know the story with that. He, you know, had the drama before Survivor Series 92. It was supposed to be, you know, him and Macho, and they ended up throwing Mr. Perfect in there. But, you know, I don't even remember being disappointed about it because The Undertaker and Kamala had the casket match that night. It was like the first one that they had done in WWF. And I was just blown away. Like, I've been hooked for life.
Yeah, isn't it incredible that a substitution would be Mr. Perfect? Like you could put him at the top of any card today and you'd be more than happy. And that was like a substitution back then.
Yep.
That's crazy. So was that Richfield, was that your home arena then? Did you go on to see like house shows and stuff there? Or was that?
Yeah. So it wasn't around much longer after that. I probably saw two house shows after that 92 Survivor Series, because then in 94 they had built the Gund Arena downtown, and the Cavs moved over, you know, up there, and so all events after that were there, which I have great memories there too. But yeah, the Coliseum was just, it had a different feel. It was very old school. So yeah, it's sad that they tore it down, but it's, you know, it's kind of just what happens.
Yeah, and so when you first got into wrestling, did you immediately get pulled to the figures, or how long did it take for you to discover those, and which line did you, or lines did you get into first?
Well, it didn't take long. I come from a big family on my dad's side. He's one of seven kids, so I had a lot of cousins, and a lot of my cousins were older, and so my first figures were hand-me-down LJNs. And I had quite a few. You know, I had Macho, I had Liz, I had Hogan. JYD was my guy. He was, you know, he was the champion of my fig fed forever. I mean, nobody beat JYD. But I had, you know, Iron Sheik, Volkoff. There's a few others that I can't think of. Snuka I had. And so those were my first figures, and I just loved them. And so, you know, obviously some of those guys weren't wrestling at the time, but that's how I learned, was through figures and later on video games and all this other stuff that I learned more about wrestling, you know, not just from watching the show, but from playing with my toys and going to the store and seeing all these figures. I'm like, oh, I don't know that guy, you know, who's Ludwig Borga. And, you know, I see his figure. And so then when I'm watching Superstars on a Saturday morning and I see him, I'm like, oh, that's the guy I saw at his figure. And who would have known that, you know, 30 years later, almost, that those figures are going for like a mortgage payment. But
I mean, they have all five fingers, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, like the 1-2-3 kid's a down payment on a car, but, you know, so yeah, you know, LJNs were first. And then obviously I got into Hasbros. I didn't have, you know, I wasn't afforded the opportunity to, I guess, just like get figures whenever I wanted or get toys whenever I wanted. So, you know, the big thing for me was I would get toys on my birthday and on Christmas. So I would always, you know, I'd make little lists. I'd have notebooks and stuff with lists of stuff that I would ask for. So I'd have like a section that was all the figures that I would ask for, and then the video games that I would ask for. But so I had, you know, I had all the Ultimate Warrior Hasbros. I remember I had the Bushwhackers. I had the Rockers. I had Tatanka. I had one of the Hogans. I want to say it was Series 1. I never had Andre as a kid. And I didn't have the LJN either. And I remember that always bothered me because I liked Andre. but I didn't have any of his figures. So yeah, the Hasbros were that, but then probably the peak of my, I guess, collecting, because I played with my toys, like I had Fig Feds and things like that. The peak for me was Jax, just because of, you know, the age I was at. You know, those came out in 96. I was 8 years old, and you know, then those next few years, you know, I know the Bone Crunchers, it's debated, they're so bad they're good, so people, they're very love hate, but that's what I had the most of. And I did have, you know, a couple Galoobs when I was younger with along with my Hasbros. I had the Sting and I had the Steiners. But yeah, so it was Hasbros, it was Jax. And then towards that run before, you know, once like the Ruthless Aggression and that kind of stuff started, that's when I started kind of phasing out of kind of getting figures. And that would be the end of it for me for quite a while, you know, over a decade. So.
And what brought you back in? Was it new figures or?
Well, no, in all honesty, like I just needed a hobby. So I went through a divorce in early 2016 and, you know, I moved out and I, you know, was on my own for the first time in a few years. And so I, you know, got an apartment and I just needed a hobby. I just needed something to kind of focus on. And so it started with the Funko Pops and I got into those. And that is a very scary rabbit hole to go down. I've since gotten out of those because it's just, you can't keep up. They have so many licenses and they make, you know, the variants and all this stuff. And then I had signed up for like a couple of the wrestling crates. And I remember I got a figure in one of them and I was just like, you know, I was like, figures have really come a long way. Like I'm just sitting there admiring how good these face scans are and the deco and just the paint work and everything, you know, about it. I just was a big fan. I was like, I think I'm going to start collecting wrestling figures again. And it just took off from there. And, you know, part of it too was not just the collecting, but then, you know, meeting people in the community and starting to interact with these people and talking figures with people. It just, it makes you feel like you're part of something. And it's just really cool. You know, I go out and, you know, I'll find figures and you share it and everybody's happy for you. And then, you know, you're out and you find something for somebody else. I actually enjoy finding stuff for other people more than I do for myself. I enjoy filling other people's collections more than I do my own. Like, you know, a lot of my friends have kids and, you know, it's more enjoyable for me to send them a figure and to see how excited they get, because that takes me back to when I was 5-6 years old and I opened up, you know, the Series 2 Ultimate Warrior on my fifth birthday or whatever it was, and just the excitement I had. So I know what that feels like. And so, you know, it brings me more joy to help other people than it does for me to find stuff for myself.
Yeah. Well said, man. It's almost like you're never alone when you're out there collecting. Somehow you've got all these people, for me anyway, that I've never met and may never meet, but there's this weird sense of connectivity, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny, like, you know, you and I, like we talk pretty often and I feel like, you know, we have so much in common. It's like, I've known you forever. You know what I mean? And it's like, we met a couple years ago, just through Twitter, you know?
Right.
And it's that way with so many people. And that's just what's so cool, you know, about this community. And, you know, it's my favorite thing about all of this.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty point on there. If I wasn't doing, you know, wrestling figures or whatever, there's no chance I'm on Twitter. My presence on there is only because of this, really. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I signed up for Twitter. Oh, gosh. It was like 2012. I never tweeted, like I never did anything. Like I didn't start using it until I started collecting. And then that's kind of where I shifted my focus on Twitter, was kind of the collecting community. And, you know, like, but before that I never used it because I didn't really find it useful.
So that kind of leads me to the next thing, from social media to the podcasting, your podcast, Tales from the Estate, which I'll go ahead and plug right up front for you, with your wife, Caitlin. Is that something you had kind of planned out ahead of time, or is that like something new that you guys decided to do?
Honestly, no. You know, I'm sure most people that have listened to our podcast knows, like, we're just kind of very spontaneous, spur of the moment type people. And, you know, I've been kicking around the idea of maybe doing a podcast for quite a while. But I'm kind of not, I don't want to say like I'm a perfectionist, but if I was going to do something, I wanted to make sure that I was doing something with somebody that I had really good chemistry with. Obviously, I'm not going to have better chemistry with anybody than other than my wife, you know?
Right.
And I really, I mean this when I say this, I know that they kind of say like, oh, well, you should marry your best friend. Like, she is absolutely my best friend. And, you know, we just, one day I was like, what if we did a podcast? And she's like, I'm down. And I was like, well, what would we talk about? And she's like, well, I don't know. But she's like, we could just have a conversation like we normally do and we'll just record it. And I said, all right, well, we'll see how it goes. And, you know, the first couple episodes were a little rough just because we were trying to find like a routine. You know, we don't script anything. It's just all off the cuff. It's 30 to 45 minutes of us winging it weekly. You know, and it's not a wrestling podcast. We have some elements of wrestling. You know, we play a game called Is It a Wrestler? Sometimes we'll talk figures because it is something, you know, that's something that's I'm passionate about. That's one of my hobbies. And that's, you know, something that I enjoy. And she's very supportive of that. And so we talk about that. But we also, it's more of just us discussing things that we enjoy and mostly food. You know, we talk a lot of food, which we love. Just crazy random things because that's what it is. I mean, that 30 to 45 minutes every week is just a peek into our life. That's what it is 24/7. And, you know, we're silly, we're goofy, we're nerdy. I'm very grateful. And I tell her every day, I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I get to wake up next to my best friend and she supports me and encourages me to spend boatloads of money on plastic toys. So, you know, I don't think it gets much better than that.
That's what it's all about, man. And I, speaking of boatloads of money, you're saving me boatloads of money because I continuously, shamelessly steal stuff like your top fives, and I'll just flip that over to my wife and say, hey, what's your top five favorite pizzas? Like, or, you know, is
right. And you know what? I mean, that's been like one of the coolest things about doing the podcast. You know, when we did it, we just kind of did it as something for us to do for fun. And we didn't, you know, we knew that our friends would want to listen to it and that was fine, but we didn't think that people would actually find it entertaining and enjoyable. And the fact that they do just kind of blows us away. And, you know, I tell her, I'm like, you know, people really are into like when we talk about food or things like that. And so I tell people all the time, hey, if we can inspire you or, you know, get you talking about something, or if you find it entertaining for us to banter back and forth about like our top five favorite, whatever. I mean, that's just, it's the coolest feeling in the world. I mean, that is never lost on me when somebody has nice things to say to me about our podcast.
Yeah, when I dropped the Nathan Jones on her, that's when things got a little bit interesting. So, yeah, it's been awesome, man. And that I had been kicking this podcast around in my head for maybe a year. Mm-hmm. And sorry, I got somebody decided to rev up their motorcycle in the middle of this thing here.
Of course.
So I had been thinking about doing this for about a year, and honestly, Scott Toon was one guy who was, you know, egging me on. And but your podcast, when your podcast came out, I should say, and I started checking it out, that really fired me up to step on it. And then Scott kind of threw out the, hey, Tim's podcast is coming like soon, so get ready. And I'm like, wait, it's not ready at all. What are you talking about? Yeah. So your podcast definitely gave me like a unique or different perspective than all the other wrestling podcasts, which I think was really helpful for me. So,
well, yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, I know we had conversations before you started the podcast, and I just told you, I said, you know what? I said, if this is something that you're going to enjoy and that you're going to have fun doing, go for it. And you know, you know this, but I've been excited for this show for a while. And, you know, you came out of the gate with ring skirts, and I don't think you can get much better than Nate. I mean, he's a legend in the community. And, you know, I thoroughly enjoy listening to it every week. I love the questions that you ask. Like, you know, it's kind of funny. I've never really been like an interviewer, and that's not what we do on our podcast. But when I listen to you talk, I'm like, man, if I was interviewing, like, that's the type of questions I'd want to ask, because you ask questions that you get a really good response, and then it kind of flows into another question, into another question. It's just, you know, you get through and it's an hour and I get done and I'm like, man, I could have listened to them talk for like 6-7 more hours. And so I really do. I mean, I think you're doing a tremendous job with it, and you should absolutely keep it going.
Appreciate that, man. That means a ton to me. Like I say, especially coming from somebody who's got a podcast that I enjoy and admire so much, that feedback is, it's awesome to have.
Yeah, I know, like Breaker says it all the time, but all of us podcasters got to stick together, you know?
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, and he's got two great podcasts that I check out every week too. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that it seems like my week's kind of filled in now where I've got something just about every day to check out, whether I'm busy or not. I make the time to make sure I don't miss any of these shows, especially not yours.
Yeah.
So
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. One of the things that kind of popped up on your podcast is the obscure wrestlers and the love of the obscure wrestlers. And that's kind of like something when I think of now, like if I think of like an obscure wrestler, I think of you. Like it's a connection to you, because it's like, well,
I know you can't cool see me is. Right now, but yeah. I've got a cheesy grin just hearing you say that. So
yeah, I mean, what a cool, like I don't want to say a gimmick or something, like I'm in the wrestling industry, but what a cool, like you know, thing to have associated with you. Where did that come from, and talk a little bit about that?
I guess I've just always really, like, I've been interested in guys that weren't around long. It's always been like mysterious to me. And that's so it's, I don't know. I've just always been drawn to him. Like I remember when Nails debuted, and you know, they did the voice changer with him. And as a 4-year-old kid seeing that, I'm like, that's freaky. But then he went away, you know, he had a run for what, like 8-9 months. And then it was like, man, where'd he go? I kind of like that guy. And so I'd always just be drawn to like these obscure guys that had these tiny runs. Like I remember when Giant Gonzalez came in at the 93 Rumble and just destroyed the Undertaker. And I'm just like, what is going on? Who is this guy? And what is this furry suit that he's wearing? You know? And then he goes on and he has a 6-month run and he's gone, you know? And at that point, you know, as a 4.5, almost 5-year-old kid, I didn't know that was El Gigante. I knew who El Gigante was, but that didn't correlate with me. My brain didn't put 2 and 2 together at that age. But then when I got back into collecting and I found out, you know, because when I was done with figures, I didn't keep up with it. As I started to get a little older, my nephew was getting into wrestling. And then so he would ask me to get him figures, you know, for Christmas and stuff. And so I'd go to the store and I'd see him and I'd be like, wow, these are really good. But when I got back into collecting and I'm going back and doing my research and really just trying to gain knowledge, because at that point I had not collected anything. And so I'm going through, I'm seeing, and the first figure that was like an obscure character that I bought was the Classic Superstars Papa Shango. And I remember getting that in and I'm just staring at it and I'm just like, yeah, this is going to be bad. Like I'm going to end up draining so much money into this hobby. And I have, but man, it's just so cool. Like, you know, I come downstairs and I see, like, I always talk about my Zeus figure. Like I just love Zeus so much. And I see that. And then I, you know, I see like my Rick the Model Martel and just all these guys that were either obscure or are obscure in a figure sense. Like they don't have a lot of figures. That's the kind of people that like I love collecting those kind of figures more than anything else.
That's awesome. What's the, I even hate to say the Rushmore, but what's, and I'm not going to do
that. Oh, my top 4 obscure wrestlers?
Oh, no. We're not going to do that on this show because this is the host of Tales from the Estate. We're going top 5.
Oh, I see what you did there.
What's your top 5 obscure wrestlers?
Okay. Do I have to rank them in order? It doesn't matter.
No, it would have been fair of me to have given you a heads up. So let's just do 5 out of order. And
okay,
and no particular
so
order.
We are going to go Papa Shango, we're going to go Nails, we are going to go Aldo Montoya,
nice.
We will go, let's see, Oz.
Oh, that's a pull.
That was always a fun one, yeah.
Yeah.
And then let's do, trying to think of Let's go with Beaver Cleavage, Mosh from the Headbangers. Just for the name alone.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good call. And you know what, in a weird way, I don't know if it's because I can say that I actually watched the show. No, I'm not that old. I watched reruns, but I did watch Leave It to Beaver. Those promos kind of popped me just because it was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
About it.
You know, and it, yeah, I mean, what did it last, a month, if that? And
yeah,
just one of those little footnotes in history, but that's what I love. An honorable mention, since we do that on our show, and it wouldn't be right if I didn't, we'll go with Shockmaster.
Oh, yeah. How fun, man. The spill heard around the world, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm actually looking at the figure right now, and it's upside down in the pad. That was so great.
Yeah.
Putting it upside down. That's just awesome.
Yeah. Who was the, I forgot, who was the mom or like Mrs. Cleaver on that? Do you remember? I don't recall.
I don't either.
I think I want to say it was somebody like, it wasn't Stacy Keebler, but it was somebody like that, I think. Like it was like a.
Well, I think that they did that. I want to say, and I could be totally wrong, but I want to say that they ran that like 99, 2000. So it would have been before Stacy came in. I think that they had a woman, because I'm thinking back to like 2000 Rumble when they did the bikini contest or whatever. There was somebody named BB, and I want to say that maybe it was her, but I could be completely wrong.
Okay. Yeah, well, if anybody's listening out there and you remember who it was, I love to get emails. So send me an email at achairshot@gmail.com. Let me know who the mom was, because I can't remember. And
I can't either. Yeah.
You and I were having a conversation the other day about the Shield and how we kind of both liked them together, but not so much separately.
Right.
Who's your favorite Shield member on their own?
If we're talking worker, it's obviously Seth Rollins. If we're talking character, I'll be really honest. I love what they're doing with Roman. And I've been calling for this for a while, you know, to just kind of let him just be that heel badass. I love that they put him with Heyman. And, you know, this past, and I hate that it hasn't been with fans and, you know, it's kind of the COVID era, but his run the past few months, I mean, I'm a huge fan of what they've done with that character. But, you know, if we're talking worker, Seth Rollins, I mean, he's one of the best in the world. I love watching him work.
Yeah. And he's, all three of them, to me as a unit, I hate to sound like I'm kicking a dead horse, but I don't know what it is about wrestling. I guess it's the short attention span that most people have nowadays, but it seems like they break up factions way too soon and say, well, you know, there's nothing left to do with these guys, or we've already done it all. It's time. And I don't understand that. I mean, how many years were the Road Warriors together, or the Four Horsemen or whatever?
Right. Even in all their iterations. I mean, you know, could it be something, you know, could you have done something where the Shield kind of lived on? Maybe Ambrose took it over and you add a couple new guys and kind of give them a rub. I mean, but yeah, I'm with you. I mean, their run was initially a year and a half, you know, and then you had the Rollins turn, and I know they did the reunion stuff, but that always just kind of felt a little.
Yeah. Hokey.
Watered down to me.
Yeah. Like the NWO reunion or something maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always thought Baron Corbin would have been a great fit for that if they had, you know, before he became the Burger King,
right,
or whatever. If he,
right, his initial gimmick, yeah, the Lone Wolf, yeah.
Yeah, I always thought he would have fit right in there. Or maybe like a Buddy Murphy takeover for Ambrose now that he's gone or something. But
yep.
Now it seems like Roman, like you said, he's got a heck of a thing going on. And if they can get something going for Seth, I don't know. I guess maybe some people think they already have something going on for him, but
right.
I'm not a big fan of that program, I guess, at mm-hmm. the moment. Other podcasts have their toy spotting, like my good friends Scott and Jeff over at Fully Posable. On this podcast, I like to turn the microphone around towards my guest and ask you what you found out in the wild, Drew, whether it's in stores like Target and Walmart or Amazon online. What do they call that? The finger something,
yeah,
or other?
Finger poke of doom.
Yeah. I tend to stay away from that because I always botch it and it turns out into something crazy. Anyway, what have you found this past week or so to add to your collection?
So week before last, we were on vacation. So we did spend a day. We went down to Columbus, and there's a store down there. And I picked up one of the classic superstars, Johnny Rods, in the, you know, the green trunks. I forget what series it is, but I'm kind of on the thing right now where I'm trying to collect classic superstars. I know that that's a never-ending battle because there's so many of them. But it's just the iconic packaging. It's my favorite packaging, and I love the line. You know, I love the older generation, you know, figures. But I picked that up. I got a Classic Superstars IRS. I got the Mattel Legends Bundy, which was like the Maddie Collector exclusive. Oh, wow. Really happy to get that one. That's also something I'm working on, is, you know, the Legends line. I'm about, I don't know, 10 or 11 short, and because I wasn't collecting with those older series. That's like my biggest regret, is not collecting in 2010 and waiting till 2016, and then all these, you know, I mean, you can't get Road Warriors figures now for less than $250 a piece. So, you know, it's a long-term goal. You know, when I stumble upon some deals, which with that Bundy I did, and I, you know, I was able to get it. That's kind of, I haven't found much in the store lately. I did find, I did see AEW Series 3 in store. I've actually found every series in store. Now, with Series 2, I didn't find the whole series, but I did pick up Penta and Phoenix from that series. And then Series 3, I've got the Orange Cassidy, the Darby, and then I did also pick up the Pac and the Riho. I didn't get the Bucks. I don't need two sets of Bucks in the first three series of figures. Sorry. You know.
So you got Series 1, but not Series 3, is it?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I have the initial, you know, which those aren't the greatest as far as, you know, like skin tone and stuff, but I'm kind of a sucker in the way, like, it's Series 1, so, you know, I can say in 10 years I still have Series 1 of AEW, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I still actually, I don't have Brandy, so that's another long-term, because she's like finding a needle in a haystack. And then the other figures that I've gotten this week was, I got my custom figures from Jason Wolf, which, shout out to him. The custom Hasbros that he's doing are just incredible. I have each one that he's released, which I take as a win on my part, because those things, they sell out in like 5 minutes, and he's just doing an amazing job with those. So I got my Anvil, and then I got the Vader. And I love them. Vader's one of my favorites. The Anvil's perfect. You know, I always wish that they would have, you know, Anvil, the Heart Foundation Anvil from the Hasbro series. And now I do, thanks to Jason. So.
Yeah, for sure. I got the Anvil as well. And I like you looked at, I actually got two of the Anvils with the idea, like, one day I'm going to try to, I'm like, dude, you're not going to do anything. And then Jason's popped up, and I'm like, you know, problem solved, I'll buy his instead. So it's an amazing figure.
Yeah, and I mean, just the work he does is incredible. You know, I tell people all the time, if they ask me, you know, about an artist or anything, you know, and I've got all of his, you know, like the big posters that he's done, like the Hasbro, the custom Hasbro posters that he's done, I have those in my figure room right when you walk down the stairs. And so that's like the first thing that people see. And I did it on purpose, because I want them to, you know, see that and be like, wow, who did it? And I tell them, I'm like, yeah, there's a guy, you know, Jason Wolf. He does figures. He does sketch cards, whatever, you know, just absolutely incredible. Can't say enough good things about Jason.
Yeah. He's so cool, man. I haven't got a chance to really get to know him that well, but what I know of him, and from listening to his podcast, I just have crazy respect for anybody that speaks their mind and isn't afraid of, like, you know, people not liking it or, you know, so.
I love his podcast. And my thing is, he warned you at the beginning that you're probably going to be offended. So if you're easily offended, he's letting you know, don't listen. But yeah, I mean, I love listening to his show too.
Yeah. He's great on the podcast as well as the art. So yeah, I hope to get some more figures in the future from him as well.
Yep.
What's going on? What's the latest and greatest downstairs in the basement? I know some people have a like an official or unofficial name for their spot. I don't know if you do, but
I just call it my figure room. I know, you know, Nate's got the wrestle cave. I can't compete with that.
Nobody can. I just call it,
right. Exactly. But yeah, it's just my figure room. It is a constant, like it never ends. It's a constantly evolving room. You know, when I first moved in, I had like enough stuff to fill like one half. And so I had one half full. You know, I bought a couple detolfs and I got some shelves and, you know, I started putting stuff on the wall. And then the other side of the room, I just kind of left. You know, I put up some other stuff, non-wrestling related. But as it's filled up, you know, it's all wrestling at this point. You know, as I go, I have a plan in place that I'm going to move this here and then I'm going to move this here. So things fit. But I'll tell you what, I've loved wrestling my whole life. And if you would have told me like when you're older, you're going to have an entire basement just dedicated to all wrestling stuff. And it's going to be like your own personal heaven and you're going to, you know, have a crappy day at work, but then you can go home and you can just sit in your recliner and look at all your figures and it'll make all your worries go away. But that's really how it works.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, I am so grateful, you know, like I said, that Caitlin lets me do this. You know, I'm grateful that I've met so many cool people because of this. And it's just, it's kind of surreal to just come down here and sit here and just look around. And it's like, man, all these guys from my childhood. And it's just, it brings on such a feeling of nostalgia. And that's, you know, when I hear that word, I just immediately think of Jeff and Scott and Fully Posable, because that's really it. I mean, that's part of the magic of collecting is the nostalgia of it. And it takes you can look at a specific figure and it can take you back to a point in your life. And it's like, you remember it like it was yesterday.
I think I'll go ahead and say it on your behalf. You've got a super supportive wife. That's your best friend. You've got a wrestling room that's all wrestling loaded to the tilt. I think you're the object of a lot of people's envy. With that, I certainly think that's a pretty awesome setup, and it can happen to a better, nicer guy, Drew. I mean that there's a lot of people out there that have stuff going on like you have going on, and they just turn out to be not the nicest dudes in the world. And it's pretty cool that with all that being said, you're still like one of the coolest dudes that could be. So,
well, and so, you know, I mean, that's my thing. I mean, when I first got back into this, I mean, my collection was, you know, a few Funko Pops and a few figures here and there. And I had to store them in like a spare bedroom in an apartment. And I would still share pictures of like figures and people would still like them. And that's what I like. And I know that I can't say this with like 100% accuracy, because there is still some of the BS that goes on back and forth. I'm not here to talk about that. I don't give any negative sort of energy any time of day ever. And I stay positive. And, you know, I talk, you know, like Dobro, I mean, the king of positivity, you know, and he inspires me. And so that's how I've always approached things, is I'm going to bring a positive spin, but everybody's collection is their collection. It doesn't matter if it's five figures, if it's 500 figures, or if it's 5,000 figures and you have complete sets of everything. That doesn't matter. It's the fact that if what you're doing is you're going out and you're getting figures and that brings you happiness, that's what matters. If your collection is one shelf above your bed with three figures, that's a wrestling figure collection, and that's awesome. And that's no worse than mine, and mine is no better than yours.
Yeah.
Because it's each bringing us joy. And that's what it is. You know, I mean, this should be something fun. It should never be a competition. It should never be. And that's why, you know, like with going to the stores and stuff, I feel like there's sometimes this need for people to be like, oh, well, I got it first.
Right.
Well, that doesn't matter. You got it first. Well, once everybody else gets it and they put it on their wall, nobody's going to know. It doesn't have a date on it saying like, oh, well, I got this one on this date and it was a week before you. No, like, so we should all just have that mindset of helping each other. If I find something, you know, I mean, I've had situations where I find a figure and I send it to somebody else before I even get one for myself. And it's not because like I'm trying to like toot my horn, like, oh, I'm doing that. No, like, but I know that I've got so many great people that can help me out. And so I'm going to pay it forward and I'm going to help other people out that may not have a chance to see a figure, because even if I send this one to him and my store doesn't get another, somebody else is going to help me. And if they don't, then I wasn't meant to have that figure. You know, I don't take it personal if I miss out on a figure. If it's meant to be, at some point I'm going to find a deal, or something's going to come along, or I'm randomly going to see it at a garage sale or at a flea market or whatever.
Right. And that figure, you're aware that that figure probably means more to somebody else than it even does to you. And not that you don't want it, but it, you know that you're making somebody's day by getting it to them.
Yeah.
That means more to you than just adding yet another figure to your collection, right?
Absolutely. Because you know what? They might be really having a bad day, and finding that figure might have made it a good day for them, and they went to the store and couldn't find it. But then I go to mine and I do, and that turns their day around. There's no better feeling in the world than that.
Yeah, you're right. I saw stories like that with the GBM and yourself and other people on Twitter, just kind of saying like, hey, I found this figure for whoever. And the reaction that person gave was all it took for me to go like, man, I want to do that for somebody, you know, like that was, right. That was so cool.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, doing that for people has led to like some of the greatest friendships I have. You know, like you talk about like Dobro and Sammy and Nick Haddix, and I don't want to start naming people because I'll leave people out and I'll feel bad. But like all these people that I've met, and they are legitimate friends. Like we've become friends just as a whole, not just wrestling friends or not just Twitter friends. Like they're my friends. And I mean, I'm just forever grateful to this hobby for that. And so, you know, there's times where I might not be as heavy in the game. Like I'm not out hunting figures and doing legwork every day. But I'll always be there to try and help people find stuff, even if I'm not really, you know, in it at a time, because there are times where I get frustrated. And when that becomes the case, I just take a step back and I just kind of take it easy for a little bit, because a hobby shouldn't be a stressor. It should be an escape.
Yeah, you're right. And with all the restrictions and stuff, you know, trying to get into stores that seemingly aren't restocking, at least not out here in California, it got to be, well, it's just easier to go on Amazon or somewhere else and just buy it online.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Drew, I know I could sit here and talk to you all day long, and we'll have to do it again, man. It was awesome absolutely. To finally get you on. And I just want to thank you for all the positivity and all the good stuff that you're doing on Twitter and in the wrestling figure community. Where can people find you? Everyone's got to know about Tales from the Estate, but if you don't, you know, where can people get a hold of you? Or
yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Honestly, this has been a blast. You know, I've gotten kind of so used to doing my podcast that this has been a very welcome change of pace. And I'm not saying that in a negative way at all. It's just I've had so much fun. And like you said, I could sit and talk for hours. But if you'd like to follow me personally, I'm at Drew Vencill, DrewVencill. It's not hard to find me. If you would like to follow our show on Twitter, it is at Estate Tales. We are a podcast that is just kind of a variety show. We do 30 to 45 minute shows every week. We normally talk food. We talk random facts, just whatever random stuff comes to mind. We do different top fives every week, which is fun. And, you know, give it a shot. You know, if you find it funny, that's great. If not, that's okay too, because we have fun doing it. So that's all that matters. But you can find the show anywhere you get podcasts: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, all that. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us.
Don't forget about Anchor.
And Anchor, yeah. I mean, that's what we use to make it.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Awesome, man. Yeah. Drew, thanks so much again. And my kind of parting tradition for this podcast is I like to ask my guests to pick any wrestling theme for us to take off on.
Well, I have to be completely honest with you and tell you that this was the question I was looking forward to most. Because when you started doing this, I had one in mind, and I said, I hope so nobody picks it before I'm on, because I really want to pick it. But the theme song I'm going to go with is one of my favorites, and my favorite from the Attitude Era, and that is Gangrel / The Brood.
Oh, that's an awesome choice, man. You got it, Drew. Thanks again, buddy, and we'll be talking to you real soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Hey guys, before I get out of here, I'd like to give a few thank yous and shout outs. I'd like to say thank you to Drew for coming on and spending time with me today. One of the nicest, coolest guys in the entire community, and I'm so grateful to have had him on today. I love his podcast, Tales from the Estate. If you're not checking it out, get on it. Don't sleep on it. Him and his wife do an awesome job. Shout out Drew and Caitlin Venzel. And shout out to Scott and Jeff Toon, Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. Jeff encouraged me to get my pets neutered and spayed, and I did it, and I feel like a better person. Shout out Jeff and Scott. And by the way, if you're not listening to Scott on Drunk Wrestling History, you're missing out. And I highly recommend you check out this week's episode for St. Patrick's Day. What better way to spend St. Patrick's Day than with some drunk wrestling fans? They're not always right, but they are always drunk. Shout out Drunk Wrestling History. Okay, guys, I think I need to come clean. I announced last week that I'd be giving away a Bill Goldberg WrestleMania 37 figure. I lied. I'm going to be giving away two Goldberg WrestleMania 37 figures as my way of saying thank you to everybody who participated and is listening to the podcast. So the two winners of these Goldberg figures are Gabriel Ballin and Mario Yee. Shoot me an email, guys, before the end of the week, and I will get these out to you. If I don't hear from you guys by the end of the week, I'll throw them back in the hopper, and we'll try it again. Thanks, everybody, for all the support, and thanks for participating. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at achairshot. That's A-C-H-A-I-R-S-H-O-T. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website or email them to me directly at achairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
everything. And a friend in need is a pest.